room, and he tapped his foot in time, and he sang, not always in tune, but he sang, and, you know, he moved around, and he was doing his own thing, which is, for me, always okay when you're listening to music. Everybody's got their own thing. But it was just a thing where, you know, Charlie's got to do this, and Charlie's got to do that, but Charlie's just Charlie, and, you know, it was just one of those moments where all the words sort of fell into my head, and I had the melody in my head, and I sat down and started playing, and quickly wrote it all down between the half-hour break I had between classes, and it underwent several edits as well, but this is Charlie's song.
That's an amazing story. Does Charlie know that this is his song, this particular Charlie?
Yeah, I played it for his parents and gave him the CD when I was finished, and, you know, they thanked me, but they don't really, you know, I can't imagine any parent would want to admit that their child may possibly got a problem. I still work with Charlie, and he still you know, comes with his bag of complications, but, you know, he's doing good.
Well, that's a great story, and I'm sure it's a great song. And this one I have not heard, and it's called Charlie's Song, if you'd run that, Bob.
Charlie's got a song in his head. He's born to walk along to this tune instead. He doesn't hear noise that's on the street. Doesn't hear things that people say when they speak to him. Hears this tune instead. Let his voice be strong when he sings. Never turn away from his beat. Let him carry on and on, sweetly singing. Charlie is a boy with a dream. His eyes are made of love and purity. The world comes alive in his smile. Music of his mind has him hypnotized in peaceful ways. May it last all days. Living with the songs that are in his head. When his life is sad, may he sing instead. Life ain't half as bad when songs keep you dreaming. Charlie's got a song in his mind. Everybody says to get in line. No one hears his little songs. Everyone says to move along. They're not listening. They don't hear him sing. Teach him to be kind, thrifty with time. Respect his mind and be faithful. We're willing ones able. Show him it's okay to walk anyway. When steps it takes are peaceful. Turn good over evil. Teach him to be true in all he'll do. That love will follow when friendly. Treat others as family. Sometimes you fall on your face. Sometimes you'll be far from grace. Just keep your heart with song through time. And with your goals alive, life will enable. When you are faithful and true. When Charlie turns from boy into a man, will he keep the song as a loving friend? Walk on the sands with the song in place. Gaze on the stars with a smiling face. And sing this tune, little song for you. Living with the songs that are in our heads. When our lives are sad, may we sing instead. Life ain't half as bad when songs keep you dreaming. So keep on singing, my friend.
Mark, I am touched by that. Charlie indeed found a friend in you.
Thank you.
It seems to me that the story you're telling me is that the teachers generally thought he was a handful, but you looked inside and saw the real kid. I'm actually very touched by that. It's very kind and it's very sincere. And actually, it's brave of you to do that, because in so many ways it's to pass along to the parents. I mean, how did they receive it? Because the lyrics are along the lines of, you know, loving Charlie and letting Charlie be who Charlie is. Were they like all high handed about that? Did they not appreciate that, or what was that like?
I only spoke with the mother. She seemed fine. She thanked me for it. You know, the teachers at the school in their early childhood are also very kind and compassionate people. But they have a job to do, and there's, you know, Charlie wasn't the only child. You know, and so it was a difficult challenge for his teacher. But when I wrote the song and started singing it for the director of the early childhood. Actually, most of the people who were working with Charlie that year started crying. His mom was pretty thankful, I guess. But I don't know if she held any resentment about it at all or not. She didn't vocalize anything to me.
Well, it was touching, and it certainly says a lot about your spirit. I certainly get the feeling that when you reach out to someone as a friend, that's for real and at a very deep level. I'm very touched. And I want to mention to you also, I may have mentioned this to you at some point in the past, we have a fellow named Billy Shears. He has a wonderful, he does a show on Saturday nights on this network starting at 9, but he also has a wonderful website called Billy Shears Musical Poetry. And every week there's a different artist who writes a story and then sends the MP3 up, which you can click it and play it on his site. And there's, you know, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds every week. He's been doing this for quite a while. There's a new artist every week, and this would make a wonderful story for Billy Shear's site. After the show tonight, I'll be sure to email you his link and introduce you to Billy Shears. He's a great guy, and that would just be a great story.
Thank you.
I want to tell you, we have a caller. We have our very own John Fox on the line for Mark. John Fox is a musician from Australia. And he's a damn good one, I might add, and also our engineer for the Head On Radio Network. John's a great guy, and John wants to speak with you a minute. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Mark. How are you? Volume coming back at me is a little low, so I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing you, but it's really, really nice to hear some bluegrass, I must admit. And my question is... what steered you in this direction?
Well, I think it's been a long time coming, actually. I grew up in St. Louis. Just when I graduated my senior year of high school, I went to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival and experienced, I think, bluegrass probably for the first time outside of just listening to Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, which I listened to quite a bit in high school, but I went out there, and I think that was the start of it all. And then 10 years later, in 2004, I went back to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and that's when, at the time, I had begun listening to Gillian Welch, and...
Oh, yes.
And it was 2004 or 2005, I'm not quite sure at this point, but Wilco was playing, and I had started listening to Wilco and Gillian Welch, and... the Oak Hill Medicine Show was there. I think that the thing about that was that Gillian gave a workshop with David Rawlings, her guitar player, and Emmylou Harris on their side stage in the middle of town, and the name of it is escaping me at the moment. And you know, she was talking about her process, and all of them were talking about their process. And I felt for so many years, that, like even in through instrumental music at the University of the Arts studying jazz, that I had something to say. And it was such a frustrating, you know, time. It's like, well, you know, I've seen my friends who were creating music, either instrumental or creating rock music or creating all these things. And here I was stuck inside a notebook with a pen and paper, or stuck in my bedroom practicing scales and chords, and listening to Gillian. She said a few things, something like 90, I forget what the percentage was, but 90% of songwriting is showing up every day to try. That was one huge factor for me, because I realized that I wasn't committed enough to trying.
I was going to say I believe you, I know that songwriting thing is a real struggle, because you know you're trying to, you know, and I imagine writers go through the same kind of thing, that you know you're trying to create something from nothing. And it is a very dedicated process. And I find it interesting that you moved from jazz into bluegrass, but I don't find it surprising, because I studied for 20-odd years, and so, you know, I studied a lot of fusion and a lot of big band stuff and all that. And unfortunately, I found jazz as a genre, unfortunately, with what's released, always feels very heartless, a little bit soulless to me. And there is something about bluegrass and similar types of music that I think sometimes, I don't know if there's a pretentiousness that's removed, or it kind of is a little bit more free-flowing. I don't know. Would you relate to that at all?
Yeah, it's definitely got a bit more of a lighthearted feel to it. I mean, the twang of the banjo when you're walking into a festival where it puts a bounce in your step. You know, it's you can't help it almost. It's just got that sort of uplifting sort of charm and character to it. But I think that, you know, the songwriters, at least the ones that I've been listening to, the ones that I hope to continue to find that inspire, are the ones that that write a good lyric, and that write a good melody. And you know, you can take, you know, as many notes as you can possibly play, and say nothing. And I feel like that's for me. Like when I started, all my friends at the time started getting into the free jazz scene, and everybody just played notes as many times, you know, as fast and as many as they could. That was sort of my exit point. I was like, I felt lost and uninterested.
I can definitely relate, because I mean I grew up, you know, I was in high school in the 80s, and you know, music in the 80s was lacking, but the only thing out there that was actually challenging for the player, aside from say jazz or classical and popular music, happened to be the more hard rock and metal stuff of the time. But that became, you know, hollow and pretentious as time went by. And I found myself, as I, you know, I'm getting closer and closer to 40, that country bone somewhere in my back just kind of seems to have grown exponentially over the last decade. And I always kind of dug country and things like it. And I'm a huge Emmylou Harris. The network knows that. Just the mention of her name makes the hair on my arm stand up. And she also had a great change back in the 90s, where she opened herself up via great producers to getting players outside of the traditional country involved with her. And that ended up opening up a whole new fantastic career for her, as far as some really, really much more gritty material than she had done for years. And I think it's that shaking up that plays a great part in growth. And when at this time of day, it's just the beginning of the afternoon down here in Australia, so I'm with my work day and I'm kind of half listening. What is your main instrument that you play, or are you multi-instrumentalist?
I'm a guitarist, mostly. I can find my way around on the piano as a matter of theory. And I had borrowed a mandolin for a short period of time, and so I kind of know just a couple things on it, but not really enough to play fluently.
When it comes to guitars, I imagine that you're a bit of an, you've gone into the whole open tunings kind of thing.
Not as much as I would like. I do. I did spend some time two summers ago, and wrote a couple songs in open tunings, and have tried to work out a few songs that are in open tunings, but not as nearly as I would like. It's really great sound.
And I'll tell you what I found, which if I feel like I'm in a rut and you're trying, like you have a song idea, but whatever you're kind of playing or the progression you're coming up with seems to just seem like it's very vanilla, is to actually go and change into a tuning that you're not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And play around with it and find exactly what you're working on in that new tuning, and it'll open doors. And half the time, I'll end up going back to, I play mostly a drop D tuning, which is, you know, it's just standard with the six string drop down a step. But it's that opening, it's again that opening of doors, and I really find it fascinating because the material is fantastic. Whoever did the production did a really nice job. It's really clean. Even coming across our, you know, MP3 stream, it's fantastic. And it's really nice to hear some good live playing, and I have to congratulate you.
Thank you. That's actually just done around one mic in the living room. But I put it into the...
I'm a recording engineer, and rule one of recording, if you can do it with one microphone, do it with one microphone.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you proved the point. Perfectly, but I'll let you back with Peter, mate. Thank you so much. It's some great material, and I'll make sure that Peter gets some of it down to me.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate it.
No worries,
thank
man.
You,
thank
John.
You so much. Take care.
Thank you, John. Fascinating conversation. John, being a musician, knows things to talk to Mark about that I would have no clue. And speaking of having no clue, Mark, what is open tuning?
It's open tuning is when you tune your guitar to a chord. So rather, when you play a guitar, when it's tuned to its normal tuning, it doesn't necessarily sound good when you play all six strings at the same time. So you can tune it to several different chords. You can tune it to an open D, or it's called dadgad, or you can tune it to an open C chord, or to an open A. And when you strum it, it basically sounds like a chord that you have to use, you know, other fingers to make. So all your chord shapes that you're used to in the traditional tuning are gone, and you have to make your way around and try play new things. It has sometimes a bit more of a spiritual sound to it. It's pretty fun to play with.
Very interesting. I had no idea. John brings a different perspective. I suppose you didn't expect a call from Australia this evening, Mark. You never know about that sort of thing. Mark, I'm going to ask you to introduce our next song and choose it. I've been choosing along the way. I think you have a list there. Yes, go ahead. If you would pick and tell us a story about it, if you would, and we'll run it.
Well, I don't know how much time we have left and how many you'll play. I'm hoping you'll play Lay Me Down.
We can do that next. You'd like to tell us about? Yeah, we can run Lay Me Down next and tell us a story about it. Regarding timing, we have it's 20. We have 40 minutes left in the show.
Okay. Well, Lay Me Down's a bit of an upbeat one. I wrote it in a coffee shop in an area of Philadelphia called Northern Liberties. Listening to Joseph Arthur, he's somebody that I saw at the World Cafe Live up in Philly, which is it's XPN, it's the independent radio station up here. And he blew me away in this concert. He was playing guitar by himself with several MIDI and different lighting controls and vocal, you know, programmed his vocal harmonies. He's a dark sort of songwriter. And one of these songs triggered an emotion in me, and it's sort of an angry one. But it's got a drop D in it, and which is something that we were just talking about. But it's also got some great horn arrangements, which my producer and friend Andrew sort of heard the first time that he heard this song in during pre-production. And this one was quite a fun song to play. And live now with this instrumentation, it's taken on a whole other character. Where John's able to really rip apart the banjo and go after this one. It's a fun song to play.
And so then you're saying that this was done live then in a cafe, I think you said? Is that right?
I was writing this one. I wrote this one in a cafe. But it's really, it's sort of like what John, or we were just talking on the phone, like a transition, you know. It's like I'm sick of what I'm doing, and I don't want to have anything more to do with it. And, you know, I'm done with this, and, you know, I chased this thing down until I couldn't chase anymore, and I guess it was a little bit of anger. There's anger and frustration, but also, writing a song will relieve any of those feelings and make you feel pretty proud and happy again, and this one did that for me at the time.
Wonderful. Well, I'm looking forward to listening to it. I know the listeners are also, and Bob, if you would run Lay Me Down. Remember now that track. I had heard that the day that you actually sent some of these music tracks along. I heard this the other day, and I just loved it. The chat room likes it too. That's a great song. It has a totally different feel.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
I should have sent you an MP3 of us playing it with the current band. It would have been fun.
Well, we can always run it on another night if you get around. I know you're very busy getting ready for the conference. Now, did you play the guitar on this track also?
Yeah, I played the electric guitars and the acoustic guitars.
Oh.
And
so did you have to do a couple of passes then, or are you picking up one and then the other, or are you doing this as an overdub?
No, that was a studio project. I mean, that was, all of Stone Throwers was done piece by piece. I went in and did the acoustic guitars for most of the tracks over the course of a couple of sessions, and then went back in and, you know, did, I guess, basic vocal tracks, and then we did some keyboard tracks. You know, it was a growth process from the bottom up, you know.
Well, I guess if
you don't record records, you're not really familiar with the recording processes, and I'd like to be more familiar with other people's processes, but this is the only one that I've really done other than the jazz record. That's the way Stone Throwers was done. This next record we're going to do will be a lot more of a live fashion. I think we're going to go in and try to do everything live. Perhaps we'll do live takes if we get them right the first time. We might try to do it live without singing, and then go back and make sure that all of our singing is perfectly in tune. We thought perhaps we would try doing it live without singing and without solos and make sure that we get the exact solo we want, but that's sort of our idea for where we're headed with this next record.
Well, when you do release that, I would love to have you back on the show too, and we'll do some tracks from that if you would like. It's just very entertaining to me, and I know the others are enjoying it too. Is that something you might do?
Sure, it'd be great. Great.
Okay. This track called Nectar's Sweet and Rare. Now, that's one of the slower tracks, if I recall. I listened to that the other day, but it was a touching track. What is the story behind Nectar's Sweet and Rare?
I like this one. I taught at a friend's school for a couple of years, and that was, the people that I worked with there were some of the greatest people that I've ever worked with. And it was an old school and a Quaker plot, and it was Quaker philosophies, and they had this old graveyard in the back with these huge trees, and it was actually the summer after the year that I quit, and quitting was not an easy choice there because it was my lowest paying of my three part-time jobs at the time, but my favorite place to be, and I was really kind of hurting financially, so it had to go at the time. But I went back to visit, you know, my friends there, and when I left, I had to walk through the graveyard, and I was walking down the path, and there was this old tree with all these really gnarly roots, and maybe I heard it, maybe I didn't, or not that I heard anything, but I just got the sense that something said something to me, and from that tree, and I almost left the graveyard, and then I turned around and I came back and I sat down next to the tree with my notebook and I started writing, and I'd have to Nectar Sweet and Rare is I'd have to hear it again and then maybe talk about it. At the moment, it's not, all the lyrics are not in my head.
Well, we
but,
just happened
I just
to
remember
happen.
That it was a lot about how, I don't know, just like being underground and passing of on, and I don't know, I guess I'd like to hear the song again and then comment on it afterwards.
Wonderful. We
That's
can
right.
certainly do it that way. That is absolutely all right. Bob Feud runs the track called Nectar's Sweet and Rare.
Life is for the living where it's wasted by and by. Abandoned storms, they mark us, generations under sky. Ants and birds and trees will share our vessels where we lie. Now whisper words of wisdom if you listen, walking by in life. And we are all just children with arrogance and pride. And in our eyes are fires where our souls live out their strife, competing for our values in a universe of wars, building matter, growing matter. souls live in the curse, but why? Sky, and all the ones you cannot see are still out there to find. If I could be a traveler to time and universe, and I'd take the light from all the love and heal the living's curse. The solemn sense of sadness, leaves and grains of sand, days like seconds, lives will slip right through the hourglass. Victories, but still we don't know peace. Rising up to choke on dreams that weren't within our reach. Success is often failure, elusively diseased. So wicked truth we lather as we climb up from our knees. Disease. The past becomes the present and you that's sitting here, you read the names and numbers and calculate their years. Try to think them lies with footsteps that traveled in our air. And every day is getting closer, your stone will declare. Life with breath imprinted moments, nectar sweet and rare to share.
That is a beautiful track, Mark, and I get the impression from listening to your stories about the music and listening to this track that often your music is much like looking through a photo album of memories of places that you have been. You seem to be able to capture it with music.
I guess that place had an impact on me in general, Yeah, that song was the one that started it all. I think that was the first song that I wrote that headed me down the songwriting path. And it was also during the time when I was just learning to use my new Pro Tools system at home and record my first song, and that was it. And I just remember being really, really, really excited about that and riding my bike during the summertime to get back to working on it some more. Huge.
Who loves this sort of music also, and he is telling us that bluegrass and having a pedal steel player is kind of like not done or not normally done. And how did this come together, and what do you think Nashville will think of this? He's not complaining, mind you. He loves your music, but that this is not a normally found combination. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't claim that we're bluegrass. That's one of the things that I've been very reluctant to ever even bring up. I mean, I talk with my banjo player all the time about it. You know, he He comes from the traditional bluegrass, you know, world, and he's played very strict traditional gigs. My intention wasn't to be a bluegrass band. My intention was to play music with people that I enjoyed playing music with, and this just happened to be the instrumentation that we got. And we do some traditional music and some traditional bluegrass. But, I mean, we also do... my mandolin player is particularly into Hank Williams and Merle Haggard. The steel player is as well, and he grew up and spent some time in Asheville, North Carolina. That's why we're going to the Americana Music Festival rather than the IBMA, which has tended to be a lot more of a strict bluegrass mindset. So we're going to the Americana Music first, and we're going to see, you know, I think that this is probably a better spot for us, but I think that, I don't know, I don't really have a solid answer. I know that pedal steel is not really a part of traditional bluegrass, and which is one reason why I'm always reluctant to say that we, you know, we are Americana, and bluegrass and roots music is you know, three kind of keywords, so hopefully it gives enough people enough idea that we're not one straight thing or another.
Well, that makes sense, and we've used the word, or at least I have started using the word bluegrass, but in fact you're absolutely correct. As you know, your bio lists Americana and root music. How would you describe those terms for the listeners? What does actually root music mean and Americana mean?
I started looking up definitions when I was trying to figure out what best described us, and I should have written them down and had them handy. It's you know, roots music is just meaning, I guess, actually want to go and look it up, but I don't know. For me, it's acoustic music, and that it has to do with, I guess, like Americana, like in traditions, American traditions. I'm really doing a terrible job of explaining this. I don't really have a good answer for you.
Well, it's clear to me that you're much more about the sound and the structure of the music than you definitely have a musical mind. I completely get it that you're very fluent in explaining the music and the feelings behind it, but I'm that way too. I tend to be, you know, all in one direction or the other, and I would probably be in exactly the same situation trying to describe it. Mark, yeah. have you played in venues that were specifically LGBT, or is there any interest from that community towards your music? You know, I'm just wondering how all of that connects. You know, because most people go, you know, oh, that's country, or oh, that's, you know, that. For some reason, a lot of us don't connect to our history. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Have you? Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's sort of a weird thing because, on the one hand, you know, the first newspaper, it's been funny up here in Philly. I mean, the first newspaper that was interested in doing anything for me was interested in covering something because I'm gay. The first gig that we were able to finally get at the World Cafe Live, I don't even know how many emails to try to put together a show, was to open for Eric Hyman, who is a touring and accomplished gay singer-songwriter. So I don't really know. I mean, we played with Eric Hyman. We did last October. I did a performance with three other LGBT songwriters and songwriters in the round. We were supposed to play at a Pride Festival in Trenton. I applied to do a LGBT thing in Washington. I forget what the name of the festival was going to be. And I was hoping to do something up in Providence with a couple of the people that I performed with at the Songwriters in the Round, which is another festival that I'm forgetting the name of. I mean, I've certainly done a few things just at LGBT venues and for, but I, you know, the music like going to Nashville, want to advertise that part of my life necessarily as the first thing that I want people to know. And maybe that's a bit, I'm a bit of a coward in that regard, but, you know, the review that I got from the Philadelphia Gay Newspaper has some nice keywords. But you know, when you send out press kits to the South, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to get if they're, you know, anyway.
Well, that's fair.
So
I guess
that's my feeling. Probably not even what you asked me, but yeah, I certainly, I enjoy playing for, you know, the audiences when they're there. I don't know how many, you know, gay people love to listen to bluegrass music. You know, you meet people of all different types of people that like it, and all kinds of people that don't like it. So I'm not sure I can put my finger on what makes an audience.
Well, certainly, to be fair, any new group that would go to Nashville, they wouldn't walk in going, I'm straight. By the way,
yeah.
Here's our music.
You know,
so
right.
Actually, it's not exactly the, you know, but it was a point of curiosity. You know, and it's interesting that they approached you because you were gay. The newspaper, you said that was one of the reasons they approached you for an interview a while back. You know, it seems to me that, and it's one of the things we do on this program is you know, busting stereotypes. You know, they never, that if anybody is doing anything that is not part of the quote stereotype, then, you know, people start, you know, all the LGBT, you know, newspapers and shows like mine are like, God, we got to talk to that guy. He's doing something different. And I think it's, that might have been part of it. I think it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have some other tracks, and I'm going to let you pick out and tell us about the ones I think we haven't run and Come Back Home or Find Some Time, nor My Last Breath, nor Sitting on Top of the World, nor What It Is My Time. There's a lot of music left to cover.
Okay, well, let's maybe go with something either medium or up-tempo. Come Back Home is fairly a short song. This is a pretty much a brand new one. We rehearsed it twice before this performance, and this is a... I believe this is from the Tin Angel. So I'd say maybe Come Back Home and get that on there. When It Is My Time, it's just such a... It's a slow song, but it's one of those songs, too, that whenever we play it, we really get a really great response, I guess, because of the words in that one as well. And so I'd be interested in having When It Is My Time played, but maybe something medium and up would be better. So Come Back Home.
Okay, that sounds great. Bob, if you'd run for us, Come Back Home. Come back home. That is a great lyric. You gotta love that.
Thanks.
And I love your naming convention on this track. You named it Come Back Home 2.2, which I assume is your internal code for the version number. It's almost like software. Is that what the 2.2 means?
Well, it's it was an editing thing, and I took that from the Tin Angel and was doing some different things with just Pro Tools to try to do some EQ. We had a great show there. The bass has an incredible amount of mid-range and very little low-end, and I was trying to fix some of the sound problems with that recording, because we wanted to try to use some of that when we went down to the Americana Festival. So, I spent some time like doing some editing and then bouncing down. My computer was having some issues and had to rename a couple things. I don't know. It was something like that I ended up adding those numbers to let me know which was the latest bounce.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I often edit tracks also, and I'm always trying to name them, but you know, in some words, you know, this is the one where I did this to it, you know what I'm saying? So actually, version numbers are actually quite a good idea. You've given me a great idea here. And what were the circumstances you wrote that song? What were the circumstances around that song?
Well, I've been with my partner for 9 years, and since May, so 9 years and some odd months. And this past summer, we had a bit of a rough spell, and we were pretty. It was like living alone inside the same room, and it was a difficult time. And that song is sort of about some of those issues, I guess, where. You know, every time I leave, that's when you're good to me. Every time I'm here with you, you say you need me again, and you say, "Come back to me, my love. Come back home. Come back to me, my love. Won't you come back home?" And then, you know, every time I'm here with you, you seem to disappear. I look for you. I find the doors are all closed, but still, you say, "Come back home." And so that was just sort of the thing. It was really nothing to be arguing about. We really didn't have much to go on, but it was, I guess, we were both. Needing our own space, but we didn't have it, so I guess we were having one of our own things. But it seems to happen.
Well, you can tell him that the Strictly Confidential shows says he better behave because he's got a good thing. Okay, you could tell him that for us, would you?
Right.
And you mentioned the track called "When It Is My Time." Is that, I think that was another one you wanted to run, right?
Sure. Yeah, it's a real sweet song about passing on. And it's another one that sat in my notebook, pretty much completely written until I covered what the guitar parts it needed. This has Beth Sloan singing on it. We invited her up, but this is from the Tin Angel show. And, you know, the bass has got a real big mid-range sound in it. So, I mean, so that's from the Tin Angel.
Wonderful. And you can tell us about the circumstances of writing this after we run it, and it's called "When It Is My Time." If you'd run that for us, please, Bob.
Yeah. Make me a part of immortal and best. Spread me out on the earth, the water returns to the air, to come again as the rain. When it is my time, spread my ashes out on the breeze. Let the birds fly me through seasons, so I can see earth from their wings. Where the world goes around,
take me out of this life if I've no songs to sing. I don't want to know Diane's pain. When it is my time, sing me a song that settles my soul. Sing me a song that my mother once sang when her heart I did hold. Well, the world goes around in circles. Doesn't matter when I die or when I rise. 'Cause time has no destination. You, my part, the cause for expectation.
Now, that is a song with some depth to it. We've got to hear the story on that one.
I don't know how much of a story there is on that one. I guess when writing, it's moments of silence and stillness, you know, that you can tap into and that you can hopefully remain in for the course of the writing process. And I feel like that was one of the ones that I guess that was written with no edits, and it just, I think it was one of those things where the silence was there, the stillness was there, the thought that of what I was wanted to say was there, and just wrote it. But I mean, it tends to come up, you know, all the time, I guess, as life passes and, you know, you get older and you start thinking about that stuff. And that was one of those for me. But I really love that song. I love when we can play venues that people will listen to it, you know.
Well, it's a wonderful track. In fact, all of the music that we've heard this evening, it's been really very, very, it's very kind of you to share it all with us. There are three others that we have not gotten to, which we will not have time to run tonight, but I will be running those during the shows over the next few weeks as a track.
Okay.
From you. Do you think you could give us a call when you get back from the conference? I'd love to hear how that goes.
Okay, sure. I emailed you a couple of other tracks that are under your playlist too, so you'll have a few others from Stone Throwers if you feel up to it another time.
Excellent. I'll add those into this particular folder so that I'll have them available to send up to the studio. How long will you be at the conference?
Well, we're leaving tomorrow afternoon, and we'll be coming back to Philadelphia on Sunday.
Well, that's a big trip.
Yeah, so I guess however long that is, 4 days, 3 days.
And you say your bass player, is it your bass player Matt?
No, the banjo.
The banjo player. And is your partner going to be able to go too?
We're staying with a friend of mine who just moved down there, and it'll be a good time. Lots of great music going to be happening.
I'm sure it's going to be a great time. Please, when you get back, give us a call at the toll-free line. It's 877, the number 4, head on, and we'd love to hear how that all goes and what your experiences were, and you've been a remarkable guest. And thank you so much for taking some time out. I know you're leaving tomorrow. I you're trying to pack things, no doubt, and you know, get all your material together. It was very kind of you to join us this evening.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well,
appreciate
we
it very
enjoyed
much.
It. we enjoyed it tremendously. And I'll send you a link to the archives. The archive will be posted tomorrow, and you're welcome to post that or use it as you like. There's a archive of this particular program. Okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Good night to you, Mark, and have a wonderful, safe trip. And, again, we have enjoyed another remarkable guest. Strictly Confidential. I do so enjoy our music guests and all of the others for that matter. I appreciate John Fox's call. John, being a music guy, was able to address, what was it, open tuning, the things I have no clue. It was a very, very interesting call. Thank you, John. Need to tell you that on the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, that's HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, there is a PayPal button. If you wouldn't mind stopping by there and contributing a few bucks to the network, that keeps us on the air. It keeps the streaming computers paid and the broadband lines paid in and out of the studio. We love doing this show, but unfortunately, the companies that we do business with, even though they love us, they must charge us some money. So that will help tremendously. We're working on getting the October money filled. I'm not sure. Don't think that we're going to have Joe Vecchio. I'm not sure if Joe is going to be on tonight or not. In any case, Joe Vecchio's show normally starts at 11 p.m. It's called A Cup of Joe, Nighttime Cup of Joe. And let's see. And the other thing I wanted to tell you was, oh, yes, tomorrow's a special Halloween show. Looks like we are running out of time, which... usually happens about this time. I go rushing out of the room and screaming and say goodnight. So I think I better do that. And Joe is a rerun. I've just gotten that from the studio. And so, in closing, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Cool powers. So it's a good topic on our ghostly day of October 31st. Hina, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. You're a wonderful interviewer.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening today, giving us your Tuesday. We hope you'll be back tomorrow. And please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
When the party's Progressive over. Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Democrats in Congress couldn't believe it. They were working out the details of a bill to double the budget of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, put a rich bounty for whistleblowers to claim, and multiply the penalties against businesses by 700%. Acting Commission Chief Nancy Nord said, no, thank you.
I don't know what planet this woman's living on.
Senator Harry Reid. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called for her resignation. The White House says draconian measures against American businesses are not what's needed to fight it. President Bush's nominee for Attorney General, Michael Mukasey, told senators he didn't know the answer to one of their questions, but would endeavor to find out. Told him that twice.
This answer is not going to please Senate Democrats and could put Mukasey's confirmation in doubt. New York Senator Hillary Clinton today said she opposed him, and key Democrats who earlier said they expected to support Mukasey have been saying they would wait first to see how he answered what they consider a simple question. Is waterboarding torture? They wanted a written answer because at the hearing he said he didn't know. Now, 2 weeks later, he's saying the same thing.
CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The new chief at Veterans Affairs is expected to be the much-decorated retired two-star Army General James Peake.
President Bush is nominating retired General James Peake to head the big department that's facing wartime pressures. Peake, a 40-year military medical veteran and former Army Surgeon General, knows all about the challenges.
The disability system is largely a 1945 product, 1945 processes.
If confirmed, Peak will confront a system facing an influx of veterans with physical and emotional wounds from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
State Department says no, they did not give immunity from prosecution to Blackwater security personnel on the hot seat over a fatal civilian shooting incident in Iraq in September. Spokesman Sean McCormick.
The State Department cannot grant immunity to individuals from federal criminal prosecution.
From the court in Los Angeles comes word Britney Spears gets 3 monitored visits a week with her 2 small sons, while they've ordered her to childproof her home and work out a schedule for those visits. A video game you might want to think twice about handing over to your child. It's called Manhunt, a game that teaches how to kill.
And when you come across somebody in the game who's between you and where you need to go, you can use a syringe or a shovel or a sledgehammer or a shard of glass, and you're carrying out those physical actions with the Nintendo Wii controller or using the Sony PlayStation 2 controller.
CBS's technology correspondent Daniel Seberg. How do you tell people I went hunting and got shot by my dog? It happened to James Harris out in the fields near Iowa City looking for pheasant. Crossing a fence, laid his shotgun on the ground. The dog stepped on the trigger, blew a 4-inch hole in his leg. Don't know the dog's name. There were too many of them being muttered, to be sure. Wall Street, the Dow down about 77 points, NASDAQ off a fraction, and oil was down below $90 a barrel again. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm a Han F3 office chair. Why F3? Well, because I'm funky, fresh, and friendly. Actually, I have no idea. Probably some marketing thing. But come here, take a seat on my oh-so-stylish frame. Feel that? Yeah, that's my Alira stretch fabric back, conforming to your every move. You know, we could be doing this every day. You, me, maybe a spreadsheet or two? Think about it.
The F3 chair from Han. Designed with fit, form, and function in mind. Visit GetHan.com. GetHON.com. Han. Smart now, smarter later.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
The power of color helps your message stand out in a crowd. Now only at Office Depot, Xerox Certified Print Specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, banners, business cards, and more. Right now at Office Depot, save